wonderful episode of His Girls Gather today, and I have the opportunity to share amazing New York Times bestselling author, Andy Andrews. So, Andy, I want you to take it away because you tell a story better than anybody else I know.
Well, Susan, it is an honor to be here with you guys. And I, you know, I appreciate so much you asking me. It's an honor, even though I'm not a girl, to be here with all the girls that he has that are gathering. So what story you wanted me to tell first?
You know what? I just trust that you've got a good story that you need to share with us. And honestly, one of my favorites that I go to over and over again on YouTube and share with so many folks is Amazing Grace.
You know what? I'm going to have to send you to YouTube. Put a link on there.
I will do that because that doesn't do
I can't do it justice with that when I'm sitting in a chair at my desk in front of a screen. You know, I mean, you got to see that. But the one I think it's the one that's on Facebook is the one now that has like 13 million views. It's just crazy. And but that's one of my funniest stories too. And you know, I have boys. My wife and I have two boys, 16 and 18. And so it doesn't look like I'm gonna run out of funny stories anytime. I'm looking right now at a picture of my youngest is 16 years old. That's Adam.
Yep.
You know, if I get aggravated at Adam, my wife will say, he's just like you. And I'm like, it's not me. She said, he is just like you. And I'm looking at this picture of Adam because he started school today, or, you know, his school year started today. He's going into the 10th grade. And day before yesterday, I cut his hair. And I'm sure that every person in America wishes they could lose 8 pounds that quickly. But, you know, he had gone into the summer. He goes to, you know, a school that requires him to have his hair looking nice. And, and so he went into the summer fishing all summer. And every time I'd say, hey, buddy, we need to get your hair cut, he said, Dad, you know, please, is it okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I don't care. You know, I mean, it's just the summertime. So, but I didn't realize how much hair grew in the summer. And Adam's hair doesn't so much grow long as it kind of loses its gravity and it kind of like fluffs out, you know? And so, you know, when he loosens his hat, you know, he comes indoors and he has to take his hat off when he comes indoors. And so when he takes that hat off, he has to hold on to it so it doesn't get like sprung into the ceiling. But the other day, Adam called me about 10:40 in the morning. Okay. And he said, dad. And I said, hey, hold on. It was on FaceTime. And I said, are you okay? He said, yes, sir, I am. But you're not going to believe what we just caught, what we just put in the boat. Now, Adam is this like fishing savant. You know, and I said, what in the world have you guys caught? He said, Daddy, we caught an alligator gar, and it's bigger than the one that they have on the wall at the camp.
Wow.
And I'm like, really? Because that's like a huge one. And he said, yes, sir, I'm telling you, it's the biggest one I've ever seen. Well, then he says to me, he says, Dad, can you meet us? You know, I've just had neck surgery.
Right.
He said, Dad, can you meet us to take pictures with your good camera? And I said, sure, Mom will drive me. And so where do you want to meet? And now you're not from our area, but when he said bluegill, well, bluegill, we're in Orange Beach, and Bluegill's a restaurant over in Mobile. And I like paused. I said, Adam, where are you? And he said, well, I'm not really sure, but I know how to get back to the Bluegill. Well, it would take my wife and I an hour and a half to drive to the Bluegill.
Right.
And I said, buddy, I can't do that. You just got to get the car home. So when he got it home, you know, several teenagers could not hang it up. It bottomed out the scales at 200 pounds.
Wow.
And so we finally had it. It took a while to figure out the thing weighed 223 pounds, 6 ounces. But there's some, if you go on, Andy Andrews' Facebook, I posted some pictures a couple of days ago. It's some unbelievable pictures, but that, you know, everybody wanted to know where he caught it, not because they wanted to catch one. They just wanted to make sure they weren't swimming in that area.
Right. I don't want to be eaten.
Because it looks like a dinosaur, man. Wow. I mean, it is just crazy, crazy, Susan.
Wow. Andy, that's bigger than most men.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's bigger than me. Right. And it's a lot bigger than him. And he and his little 16-year-old buddy, I mean, it's just crazy. Now they both messed with it, you know. His uh-huh. buddy like held on to the cork, and his and Adam was fighting it with the rod and reel, so it won't count as an official state record because two of them fought it.
Wow.
But it beat the state record by 75 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, in 2004, there's a state record set in that. Then in 2009, somebody broke it by 4 ounces. And then now 2018, Adam caught one that, you know, really broke it by 75 pounds.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and you got to look at the pictures. You got to look at the pictures. It's just insane.
I'll put a link on there for everybody to go find those pictures, Andy. We want to see. We want to know. And I tell you what, I've read a few of those fishing escapades of that, as you call, savant of yours, Adam. It's fun to hear a fishing story that's true.
Yeah. Well, you're right, because some of them aren't true. did you hear about the one-armed man that caught a fish this long?
No. Hadn't heard that one today.
Adam, you know, I told Polly the other day, I said, you know, about 5 times this year, I've looked at something Adam caught, and I've said, that is the fish of a lifetime. I said, but I guess for Adam, it's just not.
Wow. No, what's in store? He's just getting started, isn't he?
Yep. And, you know, you want somebody like him. You know, Adam, I will admit, I was not a huge fan of school. I mean, I'm 59 years old. To this day, I will drive by a school, and something in me goes, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I'm not in there. Mm-hmm. You know, and so Adam is kind of like me in that. Now, I don't tell him that a lot, but he's kind of like me in that. He's, you know, he's not one of these kind that just kind of doesn't study and then makes A's and B's. You know, I mean, now I'm not saying he studies. He still doesn't study, but you know, his grades are not the best, and yet, you know, God don't need all of us to be a neurosurgeon.
No.
And so I am very excited to see what Adam does with his gift. And, I think we have done our society a huge disservice when we talk to kids and we say, hey, what are you going to be when you grow up? And if they say, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be an attorney, we say, that's great. Well, you can be wherever you want to be. You keep at it. But if they say, well, I want to be an auto mechanic, we go, oh, great. Well, you know, you could also be a doctor if you want to.
Right.
It's like, well, when did we decide that, you know, if a kid wanted – I mean, that if a kid wanted to fix cars or, you know, haul trash or something like that, when did we decide that that person was less in society? Because I want to tell you something, you don't think your garbage men make a difference. Let them stop picking it up for several weeks.
A couple of days makes a difference if you're in a populated area. You're so right. And my husband and I had that conversation. You're not going to believe it, but yesterday, everybody's not destined to be a doctor because we need other people too, doing different things, don't we?
Yeah. I think, you know, just if there's one thing, you know, I am really into parenting. I really, that's a big deal to me because, you know, we're shaping the future. And so I really, really believe that if we can help, you know, kids kind of find their way, and if we can, you know, encourage them in all directions and realize that you're right. Not every kid's going to be a doctor, but here's the thing is we got to be careful that when we say that, because I've said that a million times.
Yeah.
And it just occurs to me right now that when we say stuff like, not every kid's going to be a doctor, it's like, in a way, we're kind of saying to mom, hey, mom, not every kid is going to be considered great. Mm-hmm. Not every kid is going to be the envy of everyone. You know, you might have to settle for a 6 instead of a 10. Your kid, you know, not every kid's going to be a 10. So, you know, it looks like you might have 6s, and you're going to have to be satisfied with that. Well, that doesn't sound good. Yeah. And so somewhere along the line, I think that, in fact, I think there's a ton of great reasons for a kid. Don't you think of something? If a kid makes straight A's in school, mm-hmm. that child grows up to have fewer choices than the kid who makes C's. The reason is why, when a kid makes straight A's all through school, everybody is aware this kid makes straight A's. Yeah. We're going to get him a scholarship. You make straight A's, what are you going to be? A doctor, a scientist, or what are you going to be? Because are you going to be an engineer? Yeah. You know, because with straight A's, you either got to be an engineer or a doctor or, you know, a high level accountant or something, but you can't be anything you want to be because you make straight A's. You know, my God, not everybody can make straight A's. Look at the pathway before you. And so we kind of narrow the choices of those children, but you will find that the greatest inventors, the greatest, you know, world changers, there, you know, out of what 40 something presidents, there's almost none of them that made straight A's. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just look, you know, Albert Einstein and Thomas Edison and Bill Gates and just tons of people, they didn't make straight A's, mm-hmm. you know, and most of the people that you really, really, really admire that have broken through to helping thousands and sometimes millions of people, they didn't make straight A's. And because they didn't make straight A's, because they made B's and C's and sometimes D's, you know, everybody around them was like, I mean, quietly, they were like, God, I hope you just make a living. Do whatever you want to do. And so they kind of had the freedom to create Microsoft in their garage.
Right.
And they kind of, you know, whereas everybody else's family would say, you say, dude, you got a good job. You got to go out there and, you know, and so it is an acute, an amazing thing. Cause you know, when Austin and Adam, Austin is 19 now, mm-hmm. Adam is 16, and one of my favorite buddies in the world is a guy named Joe Bullard. And Joe Bullard owns a bunch of car dealerships around the Mobile, South Alabama area. And there is nobody you'd rather be around than Joe Bullard, except maybe his son, Ty Bullard, who Ty is like 35 now. And you know, these are just unbelievable people. And one time when Austin and Adam were very little. See, Austin, the older one, he's 19, but the kid has really been 40 years old ever since he was 6.
Yeah.
And so one time we were all together and Joe Bullard looked at my boys and he said to me, he said, you know what? And they were probably 10 and 7 or 8 mm-hmm. then, okay? And Joe Bullard looked at the boys and he said, let me tell you something. He said, Austin is going to make straight A's. And Adam is going to make C's, and Austin is going to end up working for Adam.
Huh.
Because he knew. I didn't really understand that then.
Right.
But he knew. It's the guys who make B's and C's. It's the girls who make B's and C's who have all the choices. And they better get creative. And they do. Mm. And, you know, they can do whatever they want. But the people who make straight A's, yeah, we want them to make straight A's. Okay, great. But they end up having fewer choices than our normal kids do.
Andy, that's so astute. You don't think about that being a funnel that we put the kids into where we narrow them and limit their choices versus having the funnel the other way around, do we?
Right. We don't. But part of finding that is being able to, you kind of look at it backwards. You say, look, did God put my kid on the planet for a reason? Well, yeah, he certainly did. Okay, well, you know, my big aggravation about God is always that he never seems to be under any obligation to tell me what he's doing. And so just, you know, knowing that God put my sons on the planet for a reason, yeah, and that I don't necessarily know the reason right this minute, mm-hmm, that doesn't mean they weren't put on the planet for a reason. Right. And it doesn't mean that I know what they should do right now, every moment of every day, and what choices they should make. Now, I know the basic ones. Mm-hmm. I know the basic ones about manners and stuff like that that are going to allow them to make other choices. But as far as the choices about, college or not college, or which college, or what type of work or where, I mean, that's not my decision.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's very astute on a parent's part, because we want to put them in a funnel and do what we see would be good for them, in our opinion. But that,
yeah, judgment, well,
I love it the way you say, ask a better question.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you want a better answer, you got to ask a better question. And if you're not getting the answer you want, change the question. Mm-hmm. But it is true, you know, we've got to ask the questions to get the answers needed, because to a great degree, the answers to the questions when I was in my 20s, mm-hmm, are not the same answers now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time in America where you were wasting your time to go to college if you were a woman, because you weren't going to get a job anyway.
Right.
You're just wasting your time. And then there was a time where if you didn't go to college, you weren't going to get a job, a decent job, period. Mm-hmm. And there was a time there, but there was a time long before that, that the only reason you would have for going to college is if you're going to be a doctor, mm-hmm, you know, because even engineering didn't require a degree. It required an apprenticeship. And, mm-hmm, and so, and of course there was a time that you didn't have to go to college to be a doctor. And so, but then there was a time in our country where that, I mean, and when I was coming out of, high school, it was so locked in, assumed that everybody was going to college, that you had to go to college, that if, unless your life was about to end, mm-hmm, that you had to go to college. And it was so absolute that many of us, me included, went to college, spent a ton of money, and didn't really learn a lot, or didn't really, and I mean, Susan, think about how many people you know, and I don't know how old you are, you're younger than I am, but think about between your age and my age, think about how many people you know, if you exclude teachers, accountants, attorneys, and doctors, mm-hmm, how many people you know that have a college degree that are not working with anything remotely, you know, near their college degree.
Hey, and I'm one of them, and I'm 2 years older than you are.
Oh, you are not.
Yes, I am. And I'm proud of it. I'll take every one of them I can get.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, it's I guess I bring that up just to make sure mom and dad, you know, don't inadvertently cause things they don't want to cause.
Right.
And, you know, this is another life that you have helped and that you have brought in. But, you know, their connection with God and their connection with what God wants for their future.
Right.
I mean, I don't know very many people that have walked the earth except Jesus that you could have said, what should he do? And you should be in charge.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well said, Andy.
I mean, I had a friend when I was in high school, and his parents were absolutely determined that he was not going to do what he wanted to do, that they were not going to pay for college if that's what he was going to do, and they were not going to blah, 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 and you will study this, and blah, 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 blah. So he did half of what they wanted. Half of what they wanted was that he not get involved in what he was interested in. Mm-hmm. So he did not go and study that. But what he did was, he was 18 years old and went and got married and moved away. So, okay, now tell me what to do. Right. You know, and so there comes a time where a lot of times parents go, you know, with 18 or 19 year old go, well, I didn't mean for that to happen.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Best laid plans, right?
Yeah.
And I think you nailed it so well, Andy, because we're so quick to judge based on what our experiences are and what we've been taught and told versus having a larger view. And that's one of the things that I love about the way you notice things. You see things that are not sitting, they're in front of me, but I may never see them. I may never think about them. So I love the way you expand my mind and the way I think and the way I look at things. So thank you.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of what I do. And that's probably what you do so well with His Girls Gather.
Oh, thank you. You know what? To me, it's real obvious that everything out here is created by our mighty God, and He loves us. But boy, we need to be reminded. Yesterday, I was cooking something, and I put it in the oven and pulled it out and thought, remember, that's hot. Turned around to get something and grabbed the handle without the hot pad.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There you go, God. It's still hot. But yeah. I forgot. And sometimes we forget about Him and the details, too, don't we?
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
So human.
Do you have any other stories you want to share today?
No, I think we talked about what we were supposed to talk about. I think we're supposed to talk about young people, and you know, probably a lot of your audience, certainly a lot of my audience. We have older teenagers or younger adults, and you know, we have moved into a period of our lives where the influence is very, very important. But the discipline work is done.
Yes.
You know, King Solomon wrote thousands of years ago, discipline your child while he is young or you will ruin his life. And it is important that we discipline our children young, because the only reason you discipline a child is so that as they get older, they understand discipline. And so your discipline becomes self-discipline. And if you look at if you look at that he wrote, that you discipline a child while he's young, or you will ruin his life. It's very curious that he says, not that his life will be ruined, but that you will ruin his life. And if you look at young adults who do not understand how to discipline themselves, these are the people in our society that are the biggest problem for everybody. And the reason is because if you can't discipline yourself as an adult, society will do it for you. And when society does it for you, it's never pretty, because it's always, you are under arrest. Here's a restraining order. You are instructed to never come back to this place. You are out of money. There are so many ways that society disciplines adults who, for one reason or another, haven't disciplined themselves. And that, you have an opportunity when a child is really, really young to put the hammer down and then spend his childhood and adolescence and teenage years easing away and watching whether they are able to do it while you are there with a net. But if we spend our total time, keeping the hammer down until they're 19, well, at some point they're going to say, I ain't got to stay here. And then when we try to say something, they say, look, you said, as long as I was under your roof, I'm not under your roof. And then not only do you not have any influence, you don't have a relationship. And so, and there may be somebody listening to this today, Susan, that goes, oh, crap. Kid's 14. What am I going to do? Well, there is something that you can do. And what you do at that point is you just have a conversation with your teenager, and you start to understand that you have conversations. And you may have set yourself into a position that for a while, it's hard to have conversations because they don't want to even talk. Okay. And so, but what you do eventually is basically to say, if you could wave a magic wand, do you ever think about being away from here? Do you ever think about being 25? And of course, if they tell you the truth, they'll admit it. Yeah, I think about that. Yeah. And if you could wave a magic wand and all of a sudden be 25 today, I had this conversation with Austin when he was 13. I said, where would you live? And he said, well, like, what do you mean? Well, I said, well, you got a magic wand. You can choose anywhere. Where are you going to live? He said, well, I don't know. And I said, buddy, here's what it is. You want to live in the city? You want to live in the country? You want to live in the mountains? You want to live on the water? Where are you going to live? He said, oh, on the water. I said, okay, salt water or fresh water? He said, well, salt water. I said, okay, salt water. You want to live on the bay, on the beach, on the lagoon, brackish river? He said, I think on the lagoon. I said, really? You like the lagoon down here? He said, I do. I said, north side or south side? He said, north side. I said, really, why the north side? He said, well, because on the north side, south side's only sand, but on the north side, they have the woods too. Yeah. I'm like, that's very good. I said, okay, so where are you? Do you live in a house, a condo, an apartment, a tent? What are you? He said, a house. I said, you're going to rent it? He said, magic wand, right? I said, yeah, magic wand. He said, I'll own it.
There you go.
I said, okay, what kind of payments you want to have? What kind of payments? He said, no payments. I said, really? I said, well, Mr. Dave would be proud. And he said, right. And I said, so what kind of car? He said, well, used, right? I said, it's your magic wand. He said, yes, or used, because, you know, Mr. Dave says you don't get a new one. I said, that's good. And so he told me, and he told me this, what do you do this time? And so finally, and it took several conversations, but finally I had written it down. I said, you know what? I like this. Now, there were a couple of things, you know, he says, he didn't really say this, but this is an example. A used Ferrari. And I wouldn't have written that down. I would have said, really? I was curious. Now, you know, you got to think, okay, you're going to have a Ferrari and something else at first at 25. You're going to have, because you think Ferrari, is that going to go through the sand, getting down to your house, the lagoon? You aren't. And he, you know, you just want to talk him out. Yeah, probably need a Ford F-150 first. Yeah, probably. That'd be good. You want me to write that down? Yeah, write that down. And so at some point, you're able to say to your 14-year-old, you know what? This is awesome.
Yes.
This is really good. If you really want to do this, I mean, I'll help you do it. I mean, if you looked at me right now, if I could just like make myself a 14-year-old, and yet I knew the things that I know now, do you think I could do this? Mm. And Austin said, yes, sir, you would definitely do it. I said, you know what? You dang right I would. I said, unfortunately, I can't make myself, you know, 14 again. He was 13 when I did this. And I said, but I sure love you enough, and it would excite me enough to kind of coach you to it. Mm-hmm. I said, I can be your coach. And at that time, A.J. McCarron was a quarterback at Alabama, and they had spent time on the practice field there with Coach Saban and with A.J. And I said, now, you know, when AJ came to Alabama, he told Coach Saban that he wanted a national championship. Well, Coach Saban had already won a couple.
Right.
AJ never won one. And so they made a deal that AJ would be coached to it. And so there were certain times that Coach would say, hey, I know you're tired, but you're fixing to run wind sprints after practice. Yeah, I know you got a date tonight, but this is what we're going to do before you go on that date. Mm-hmm. And at any time, AJ could have said, the heck with you, and left the team and never won a national championship, never gone to play for the Cincinnati Bengals in the pros like he is now. I said, but he allowed somebody else to kind of help him, to direct him. And that's what I want you to do. You know, at 25, do you know any 25-year-olds that live debt-free on the water down here? He said, no, sir. I said, yeah, I don't either. I said, that would be a national championship for a 25-year-old.
Yep.
I said, so let's coach you to it.
Andy, that's brilliant. And you know what? I love it that we might not have gotten that start that we wanted to early enough, but as a parent, as long as we have kids, and my son is 33, but I can still parent.
Absolutely.
Still love him enough to let him know that I love him and cherish him, and we're here to help him, you know? And he just got married, so we're thrilled about that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, he's lucky to have you. Man, I love the kids. You got to go see that Gar. I got to get out of here. They're yakking at me to go somewhere and meet Polly, and so –
Well, we're over, and I want to say thank you very much for taking the time and telling the stories and planting those wonderful seeds for parents, Andy. This has been valuable.
Well, I appreciate it. They are fortunate. Your audience is fortunate to have you, and I appreciate you including me.
Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.